This evening we invite you back to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. And we'll begin reading with verse number 1 once again. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust, and saying, Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of these verses once again today. This afternoon we want to continue on with that of our study of chapter 3 of 2 Peter. In our study this morning, we were given two reasons for the seeming delay of the return of the Lord. Number one, Peter said, it's not time. Number two, the long suffering of the Lord. And this afternoon, our study is on that of the subject of the day of the Lord, or the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 10 will be that of our focus verse for our study tonight. Peter writes, But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. In our study tonight, we'll consider three points. Number one, the certainty of the day of the Lord. Number two, the way or the manner of the day of the Lord. And three, the results of the day of the Lord. First of all, the certainty of the day of the Lord. Peter writes, But the day of the Lord will come. Again, we have that of a but of contrast. And the but, again, is between that of what the false teachers are declaring and that of what is truly reality, what the truth is indeed is. Peter is still addressing the beloved. And Peter says, but, or in other words, in contrast to what, we would say? Well, in contrast to what the scoffers are saying. And what were the scoffers saying? They were asking the question, where is the Lord's coming? They were saying that everything remained the same ever since that of creation, that there had been no intervention by the Lord into that of human history. But we would say to you, they were wrong. They were saying that the Lord was slack concerning his promises. They were casting doubt upon the truth of God's word, that which the apostles or the prophets had declared, and likewise the apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ. So in contrast to the false teachers saying, where is the promise of his coming? Peter says, but the day of the Lord will come. The day of the Lord will come. In contrast to the questioning of the word of God, the day of the Lord will come. In contrast to the doubts which the mockers were promoting, the day of the Lord will come, Peter says. In contrast to the questioning of the seemingly delay, the day of the Lord will come. Peter's statement here is an emphatic statement. In the Greek, there is a way in which the writers, they make what they want to say emphatic, and what they do is they put that verb or whatever it is that they're speaking of in the very beginning of that of the sentence. And here, in the Greek, we have the verb will come. Will come the day of the Lord. And so Peter here, he says, without a shadow of doubt, without doubt of a doubt, will come the day of the Lord. But we would stop here and we would ask the question, what is the day of the Lord? What is the day of the Lord? What does the day of the Lord refer to? Well, the phrase the day of the Lord is used in the Old Testament various times. And it points to that, or it was a time in which God intervened and brought judgment upon the earth and vindicated that of His people. And that was in history. Days of history that the Lord did this down through the ages, as we read in that of the Old Testament of Scriptures. Well, there is a final day in which the Lord will once again intervene in that of our history, beloved. It will be an intervention of judgment upon that of the wicked and a vindication of those who are the people of God. And that's what the day of the Lord is. That is the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ coming, bringing judgment upon the wicked and vindicating that of His people. In the New Testament, it signifies the second advent of Christ. The day of the Lord will come, Peter says. In contrast to that of the teachers saying, where is His coming? Casting doubt. Questioning the Word of God. How will it come? Or what is the manner of its coming? Peter here, he tells us, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. As a thief in the night. Again, we have that little word as. If you note back up in verse number 9, he said, the Lord is not slack concerning His promises, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now he says, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. Or like that of a thief in the night. Now this language is familiar in the New Testament in speaking with regards to the second event of the Lord Jesus Christ. Over in the book of Matthew chapter 24, we have the Lord speaking. Matthew chapter 24 and in verse 43, the Lord, He says, watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come, but know. But know that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would have not have suffered his house to be broken up. So the Lord here, in speaking of that of His coming, He says, watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. In the Gospel of Luke, chapter 12. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 12. verse 39 and 40. And this know, that if the good man of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not have suffered his house to be broken through. Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh in an hour when ye think not. Parallel with that of Matthew there. Over in 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. In verse 1, Paul writes, "But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night." And then in the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 16, and verse 15, "Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked, and they see his shame." Lest he walk naked, and they see his shame. So here in these verses we see that it's a language that is familiar here in the Scriptures. What does it mean to come as a thief in the night? Thieves, they come when you least expect them, don't they? A thief comes and it's unexpected. It's suddenly. Well, that's what Peter here is telling us with regards to the day of the Lord. It's going to come sudden. It's going to come unexpectedly. Secondly, as we think of a thief, he comes to do what? To rob. He comes to harm. He brings damage to that of the one whom he comes to rob. Well, as we think of the day of the Lord, it's going to be sudden. People are not going to be expecting it. And as far as that of the wicked are concerned, it's going to bring great destruction for them. Death and destruction. But for those who are his chosen ones, his people, it will bring vindication and salvation. Thinking of that of the passage that we looked at this morning, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering. Long-suffering. Note down in verse 15, Peter writes, "An account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, has written unto you." The long-suffering of the Lord, salvation, Peter says. The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. In the night. Does that mean that the Lord is going to come in the night? Actually, in that of darkness, the Lord could come at any time. That's the whole idea or thought that is found here in these words. He could come in the morning, he could come at noon, he could come at nighttime. Why does Peter say, as a thief in the night? As a thief in the night. Could it possibly be that Peter is thinking of that of a day and that the end of it is at night? And as we think of this world as we know it, that its end is going to come. It's going to be at the end. It's going to be in the fullness of time. in the fullness of time. That's when Jesus came the first time, didn't he? It was in the fullness of time. Well, likewise, in the fullness of time, Christ will come again. All according to that of God's timetable. And it will be in the end. The end. It will be the end. For this world as we know. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. In the remaining part of verse 10, we have the results of the day of the Lord. The results of the day of the Lord. There's three of them. Peter says, in the which the heavens shall pass away with that of great noise. Secondly, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned. Three things that Peter tells us about that of the results of the Lord's day, the day of the Lord. First of all, let's consider the first one. Into which the heavens shall pass away with great noise. Here, Peter speaks of the heavens. The heavens, plural, here. What is he referring to? Peter is referring to that of the heavens as we think of them, beloved. That of the starry heavens. As we look up into the sky, and we see the clouds, and we see the stars, the moon, and the sun. He says, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise. A great noise. Now the word for great noise refers to a whirling sound made by an object going swiftly through the air. It pertains to a noise made by something passing with great force, with that of a rushing noise. Might this be an atomic blast? God pushing the button? Or is this already taking place? Is it already taking place? Is everything building up to that of what Peter here is speaking of? Over in Isaiah chapter 34. Isaiah chapter 34, beginning with verse number 1. Come near, ye nations, to hear, and hearken, ye people. Let the earth hear, and all that is therein, the world, and all things that come forth of it. For the indignation of the Lord is upon all nations, and his fury upon all their armies. He has utterly destroyed them. He has delivered them to the slaughter. Their slain also shall be cast out, and their stink shall come up out of their carcasses, and the mountains shall be melted with their blood, and all of the host of heaven shall be dissolved, and the heavens shall be rolled together as a scroll, and all their hosts shall fall down, as the leaf falleth off from the vine, and as a falling fig from the fig tree. all of the host of heavens shall fall down. Over in Acts chapter 2, I believe it is, we have Peter, who is the one that is speaking. And he, of course, speaks from that of the prophet Joel in Acts chapter 2 and verse number, we'll begin with verse 29. It says, "Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, this that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruits of his loins, he would raise up Christ to sit upon his throne." That's not the verse I'm looking for. Actually, it's 2:20. Peter is still speaking. He begins his speech in verse 14. Verse 16, he says, But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, "And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And all my servants and all my handmaidens will I pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I'll show wonders in the heavens above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood, before that great and notable day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Joel prophesied of the day of the Lord and of things happening in that of the atmosphere with regards to the planets. Over in Isaiah 54. Isaiah 54. And verse 6, "For the Lord has called thee," that's not the right one, I don't think. That's not right. Okay, we'll skip that one. Here we have that of the dissolution of that of the heavens, the dissolving of the heavens taking place. Peter goes on to say, "And the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also." The elements. What are the elements that Peter speaks of here? Well, there's various ideas as to what Peter here is referring to. One spoke of the elements in this manner. He spoke of the alphabet, A, B, C, D, E, F, G. There's 26 letters in the alphabet. With those 26 letters, there's a lot of words that can be made from the alphabet. We have that of the musical scale, do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, do. All kinds of music can be made from that of that scale. They are the basic building blocks of that of language for the alphabet, for that of music. And the thought is that these elements are that of the basic blocks of that of what the Lord has used in building that of, or making that of creation. Atoms. Atoms. The earth, the universe, the stars. Beloved, they're all made up, called into existence by that of the Almighty God. Oh, how many atoms are there? Millions. And if one goes berserk, out of control, what's going to take place? What's going to take place? Here we have the earth being dissolved. Lastly, Peter writes, the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. This last statement, many of the commentators, as you read upon it, will tell you there is difficulty in determining what Peter here exactly is referring to. The phrase there, shall be burned up, can also be translated, be made bare. Be made bare. The works that are therein shall be made bare. Or be made manifest. Brought out into the light. And so what Peter here, based upon this interpretation, is saying is that everything will be made visible. There'll be no secrets. The under table things which men and women have done. Those things that they've done under the table, so to speak. It will be made bare. Manifest. In that day. And truly, that is indeed a truth. All things that are secret will no longer be secret. The heavens and the earth, Peter says, the heavens shall pass away and the earth also. In Genesis 1:1, we have, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. We know He destroyed it by the flood, or it was destroyed by the flood in Noah's day. Lastly, it's going to be destroyed by a fire. By a fire. In verse 11, he writes, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. The heavens and the earth that we know of will be dissolved. And then there will be a new heavens and a new earth. I believe it's in Revelation chapter 22, which Don read from this morning. Actually, it's chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21. John writes, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea." You know that Peter uses the same word that he used back over here in 2 Peter. He says, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away." John writes, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, not New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them, and he is their God. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." This heavens and earth that we know will be rolled up as a scroll. What do we know from this tonight? Peter says God's judgment is certain. Will come the day of the Lord. We know from the previous text, verse 9, God is long-suffering. Why hasn't the Lord come back? Why hasn't the day of the Lord taken place? It's not time yet, Peter said in verse number 8. And in verse number 9, he said, the Lord is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God is merciful. Paul tells us in that of his epistle, "But of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night." For yourselves know perfectly the day of the Lord cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But, contrast, ye brethren are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. No, we're not in darkness. We know what the Holy Scriptures tell us, beloved. We need to be reminded. And we need to refuse those who would cast doubt upon what the holy prophets have spoken and the apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ. But you, brethren, are not in darkness that day should overtake you as a thief. You're all the children of light and the children of day. We're not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Let us watch and be sober. When Jesus comes to reward his servants, whether it be noon or night, shall he find us watching? Are there lamps all trimmed and bright? All right. Let us stand, and if you still have your bulletin, we'll sing the last two stanzas of this opening. The Bible stands. The Bible stands, and it will forever, when the world has passed away. By
my inspiration, it has been given all its precepts I will obey. The Bible stands over hills, may tumble, it will firmly stand when the earth shall crumble. I will plant my feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible stands. The Bible stands every test we give it, for its author is divine. By grace alone I will expect to live it and to prove it and make it mine. The Bible stands, though the hills may tumble, it will firmly stand when the earth shall crumble. I will plant my feet on the firm foundation, for the Bible stands.
The day of the Lord, time of judgment on the wicked, vindication of the righteous. Those who are his chosen ones, they'll not be harmed. We see that in the picture that we have of God's judgment upon this world in Noah's day. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah and his wife, his three sons and their daughters, God delivered the ark. Not a hair upon their bodies. That's what Don is, of course, in the prayer.
Our dear, loving Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you for this revelation we have from the Apostle Peter, Lord, for wonderful prospect we have waiting for the coming of thy dear Son in power and great glory. Father, we wait for his revelation. Lord, we know that there's nothing on the calendar that has to occur other than your plan before this secret event will occur. Father, do help us to be ready, to be watching, Lord, to be people who love his appearing. Father, may you help us to be faithful unto the end, to persevere by the power of thy Holy Spirit. Father, may we be lights in a dark world as candles that are set upon a candlestick. Lord, do give us grace to be this, we pray. Father, we thank you for your love to us, for the salvation we have in Christ Jesus, that we are yours by love and by divine purpose. Lord, we do pray that you would bring the gospel with it, your divine power to the hearts of our family, then, Lord, to each member of this world. Lord, may your people have a strong and effective witness in these final and last days. Lord, we now pray that you would bless us as we go out into the world, to guide and direct us, lead us in paths of righteousness for your name's sake. Lord, bless our vocations, way we spend our time may be according to thy will. Lord, we thank you for every good thing you give us. Lord, forgive us when we fail thee. Now, Lord, may we depart here with your blessing. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Mm-hmm. Any more questions?